Strange
Music.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Strange Music Podcast. Today is a special day for us as it is our first podcast to celebrate the release of Tech N9ne Something Else, which is on the shelves at your local Best Buy and on iTunes as we speak. Make sure you rush out to your local Best Buy or get it from the comfort of your own home on iTunes, Tech N9ne's biggest album to date. Right now, we have the person who put his stamp on the album more than anyone else besides Tech N9ne himself, and that would be Producer 7, who we are with today. The man has been a crucial part of the Strange Music sound, going all the way back to Everready with songs like Come Gangsta, and then further on, we have songs like Midwest Choppers. He's a mental giant. There's really too many to name, but many that you know and love. Be sure to call 347-994-3066 and press 1 so we can screen your call and give you a chance to ask your question to 7. Without further ado, though, 7, it's good to have you. How you doing?
Good, man. I'm really good. I'm in L.A. right now working with Ross Robinson and Tech on a project, and everything is really good.
I assume that's the Therapy EP, and we definitely want to get into that in the later section of this. But, you know, first of all, we have the huge elephant in the room, Something Else. Tech N9ne, Something Else. Came out last week on Tuesday. Now, first of all, my first question is, how has the response been on your end to this album? What have you seen from the fans?
Well, you know, since I've been so busy, like, working on, like, the EP and, you know, I've just been totally in that, like, realm, I haven't really had a chance to, like, look at, like, a whole lot of reviews, but everything that I've seen so far has been real good, and everyone I talked to, like, I talked to a couple friends yesterday that are in bands and stuff, just, you know, guys that I really respect, and, yeah, they were just telling me that they love the album and telling me all the songs that they like, and everybody seems, like, really into it. So I'm really happy about it.
That's crazy. That I mean, you're so busy that you haven't even been able to, you know, kind of look at the response to your biggest album. I mean, that says a lot about how much you're taking this year. And that's another thing we definitely want to get into because you've done a lot this year. But going back to Something Else, I want to rewind back to, I guess we would call the beginning, when Tech approached you about this album. Now, how long ago was that, and what was his general mission statement for what he was looking for?
Oh, man. It's like so long ago. Like, this was, you know, we started working on this album like a year or two ago, like long before we put out the Ebot EP. Originally, when we started working on it, you know, Tech wanted to do something, obviously, just totally different, you know, and that was the whole idea behind it, be called Something Else. Like, sonically, he wanted to, you know, like, use sounds that we've never used before and, you know, like, create drums with percussive stuff that, you know what I mean, not just, like, not regular, like, drum samples and stuff. So, you know, I ended up, like, the sampling, like, tons of live stuff, like, you know, just whatever I could find, you know, and creating, like, all my own drum kits out of weird percussive things and stuff you wouldn't normally use, you know, for music. And that's kind of how we started on the album. And all of the songs kind of have those elements, even if others, like, you know, is, like, kind of buried underneath everything. But, yeah, that was sort of the whole idea.
Well, during the, you know, the production of this album, knowing how big it was going to be for Tech and, you know, how big of a release this was, did you feel an enormous amount of pressure to deliver? Or how did you feel during the working of this album?
Well, no, we knew that we wanted to do something that was bigger than, you know, anything, that, like, bigger than, like, all sixes and sevens, and, you know, that was sort of pressure, you know, throughout it, because that was such a big album, but I kind of just, like, just, you know, kept my mind set on just making something that's different. And I tried, like, my best to not compare it to, like, all sixes and sevens or to anything that we've done, like, ever. I just didn't, like, listen to any of our music that we've done and make any comparisons. I just tried to make sure that even if it turns out being, you know, better or not as good than what we've done, at least it's different.
I have to say that's very apparent from listening to it. When you listen to it, because you can listen to all sixes and sevens and kind of trace certain songs back to a sound that was done before. But for this one, I mean, there's a few songs like, you know, Dwam, you can kind of compare that to Don't Tweet This and the kind of wild, you know, off-the-wall
yeah.
party shit. But for the most part, it's very difficult for me and I think for most people to trace this back to earlier stuff. It really does sound like it was completely separated from anything.
Yeah. That's what everybody said to me too. You know, they think it really is different than anything that they've heard. You know, which is exactly the point. So I guess it's a good thing.
Yeah. Way to deliver. I think you know, and what do you think about that move? Because Tech9 is a very interesting guy in where, you know, he's riding this wave of success. He's been on the incline for a while. You know, a lot of people at this point, they might decide, well, you know, because they see money, they see some sort of big recognition right in front of them. So they're like, I'm going to go for a song that's going to make me big. Tech delineates from that and says, and makes this album that is primarily an artistic statement, you know?
Yeah.
And what do you think about that?
Well, I think that's good. You know, I hate it when we, you know, like, say, like, you know, let's, like, make a hit or let's make something like this or, you know, I like to really kind of not focus on those things and just be able to be completely creative and not be, you know, directly inspired by things that are on the radio or, you know, are like big for the moment. I like to be able to just do whatever, you know, and try to create something rather than, you know, like mimic something to, you know, with hopes of success. I mean, I would love to just have like organic, natural success off of something that you know, you created from your own mind. That wasn't, you know what I mean, a copy of anything else out there. So, it's, yeah, I'm totally into the whole idea of this. I wish we could just make music like this forever from here on out.
Right, just make art for art's sake and not worry about anything else.
Yeah, totally.
Now, going back, when did you actually start making beats for this album? And what is the earliest beat that made it to the final product?
Well, let's see here. It's probably like back in like 2011, I think. I mean, right after, what is it? After we got done with All Sixes and Sevens, I mean, we immediately started working on this. And we started working on EBA, and some of those tracks were meant for this album. We just ended up, like, using it on that EP. But, like, of the stuff that's on the album, let me see here. Let's see. Like, Fortune Forcefield was one of the very first. Believe was one of the very first. And That's My Kid. Those were the ones that were pretty early on. Of all of them, you know, and next up would probably be With the BS. And most of all the other ones outside of those ones that I named were all like pretty new. Like those were the ones that we used from the EBA batch when we were working on that. Then we stopped and we did EBA and then we did Boiling Point and then we kind of picked back up. And then all of the other ones, you know, Straight Out the Gate, Love to Dislike Me, Priorities, all of those came like post Boiling Point.
Okay, and what's the latest beat that, what's the last beat that you produced that made it onto this?
Let's see here. The very last one we did was Priorities. That was
oh,
like,
okay.
Yeah, very, very blast, you know. And then, let me see, before that was, I feel like it was like either Straight Out the Gate or Love to Dislike Me, I think, one of those two.
Oh, cool. Well, those are actually some songs we're going to touch on here in a minute. Now, how do you think overall you stretched yourself as a producer for this album? Because, you know, if you're making something else, I'm sure you used different techniques to try and achieve that sound and went about it in a different way.
Yeah. So you're just saying how do I feel about it all, you said?
No, I mean, how did you, you know, during the making of this, what are some different ways, you know, some new things that you did to get this sound? What are some ways you stretched yourself out as a producer?
Oh, right. Well, I started off by, like, you know, just not using any of the drums that I used before. That, you know, I kind of got in this habit of using a lot of the same drums that were, like, you know, sort of like my comfort zone. I've been using it for a while. I really started using them on Kicking and Screaming. Like, I built all these drum kits and all the stuff, you know, I started using them on a lot of the albums and sort of, like, became my sound during that year. And so when we went into this album, you know, immediately, like, got rid of all of that. And didn't go back to those drums and built all new drum kits, a lot of them with, like, organic sounds, just weird stuff that I had mic'd up and recorded. I used, like, a lot of actual, you know, like gear, you know. I tried not to use, like, soft synths and stuff, you know. I would actually just get a, like, you know, an old board out and get a good tone from it. You know, and then we use, like, a ton of live stuff on this album. That was, like, the thing. You know, I was like, man, I want to, like, do strings. I want to do just everything live. I don't want anything to be, you know, like, fake. So any track that we had that was, like, you know, like a fake bass part or, you know, something that I just had as a reference, we'd go back in and I'd get someone, you know, a musician that I work with, you know, to come in and redo the part and make it live. And then, of course, I got to finally hire a string section for this album, and we did that on three of the songs, which was, like, awesome. It was, like, my favorite part of the production of this album, finally getting to hire a string section for the album.
Yeah, so, yeah, that sounded amazing, too. Really came out well. Which track specifically was kind of the one that really pushed you the hardest?
I mean, when we did I'm Not a Saint, that one, I mean, I really worked on that, like, the production of that, like, a lot, you know. I went back for that a lot, like, you know what I mean, and touched it up and added things, and then the strings on that are pretty, like, intricate, mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I think that, like, creatively, probably Priorities, though, because it was such a crazy idea, that song, you know, that Tech had for it. So that one I didn't think would work, and it ended up working perfectly.
Yeah, that was great. Now, having, you know, said all this, do you have a beat that you made that is your favorite?
Probably Love to Dislike Me. I worked with my really good friend Tyler Lyon on that song, I really love that song. I think that's one of my favorite Tech N9ne songs. It's probably, like, in the top three now. Like, it's probably Come Gangster, He's a Mental Giant, and Love to Dislike Me.
That song has a lot of. Well, actually, you know what? We're going to get into that later. I'm going to keep on moving here. Now, you know, having said all this, you have the album. I'm sure you might have listened to it a few times, or maybe you haven't even had time to, but I'm sure you obviously know what's on it. What do you think about the album as a whole?
It's the best album that we've done since Ever Ready. Like, it's... you know, this is everything that I've wanted to do with Tech for so long. on this album, we did it. So, I mean, the only other album that I feel like this fond of is probably Everybody.
Wow. So, what is it about this album? Was it the fact that you guys just said, fuck it, and did what you want?
Yeah, that's a big part of it. Just because we just didn't worry about anything. We didn't, like, listen to the songs and say, like, you know, man, is this a single, or do we even have a single? And, I mean, the label was, like, freaking out because, you know what I mean, we weren't paying attention to that. So, but it was just kind of cool. We were just doing, like, it was just completely inspiring. We were just doing whatever we wanted to do, and we just didn't worry about those things. And, like, now I feel like so many of the songs are, like, could potentially be singles, you know, like, listening back, and we didn't even intend for them to be, you know, but I can totally, like, we're making all the, they're doing, like, all the videos and everything now, and I'm watching them, and I'm like, man, this song, like, works great, you know, like, people really respond to this, like, I hear this on the radio, and I didn't even intend for it, I wasn't even, like, in that mind state when we were making it, we were just making music. So that, I mean, the whole process of this album is just my favorite.
Definitely, definitely. Well, you know what? It's a great piece of work, very cohesive. And one thing that I've been reading a lot from the reviews, which I think is going to be a testament to this album, is that it has a lot of layers, and that it's going to be one of those albums that you won't be able to get all the way for the first time, or that there's new discoveries to be made with each listen. Has that been the case for you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, my personal, like, favorite songs, they've changed a lot, you know. Every time I listen to it, I definitely hear something different. I hope everybody else feels the same way. I mean, I really hope it's one of those albums that, like, you know, you're stuck on three songs for so long, and then you finally go and listen to the next few, you know, and you're like, wow, you know, these ones are cooler than the other three, you know. I want it to be that kind of album, because it has so many different layers, and no, like, repetitiveness, you know?
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, we're about to get into some of the songs and talk about those a little more in depth. Songs like Priorities, Love to Dislike Me, I'm Not a Saint, but before we do that, we're going to take some callers here. Let's get to Anthony from Ohio. You're on the line with Seven.
Hey, Seven, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
Not a whole lot. I did have a quick question about Abominations. Did, when you, from what I've heard from, like, seemed like in interviews with both Madrox and Monoxide, when you produced some of the beats, did you want it to make it sound like it's had something to do with Strange Music? Did you want it to sound like it is their own thing, but yet it's still Strange Music? I don't know if you can kind of understand what I'm saying, but, like,
did
you
have, like
a certain goal with
it? What's that?
I mean, because I know you've produced a lot of songs for Strange Music, and, like, what was your main goal to make Abomination sound like?
The whole thing was that they wanted to, on that album, they wanted to do stuff, like, just completely live. That was a really cool album to work on, because, like, that one I literally, like, would hire, like, everybody that I knew in bands, you know, and come in and do just all the tracks live. I mean, we had live drums on that, live bass, live guitar, like, almost, like, all of the songs. That was the whole vibe, you know, and it had, you know, if you listen to it, it's got, like, a really bluesy, almost, like, Black Keys type of whole vibe to it on a lot of the tracks, and that was totally what we wanted to do on that. So that was, like, way different than anything I would do for anybody on Strange.
Yeah, I mean, because when Abominations first came out, and I was doing my research on it, and I saw it says that Seven produced all the songs on Abominations, I was like, huh, I didn't realize that at first, and I was like, I wonder if he tried to make it sound like, kind of like a Strange Music type sound, but yet still has quite the psychopathic type sound, and a twisted sound to it.
Well, yeah. I mean, anything that I do will probably have, like, hints of obviously the Strange Music sound in it, because that's just, you know, that's just my style. But that album, Abominations, was, like, I mean, such a cool project to work on. Like, I mean, man, yeah, that was just producing that album and working on those beats was, like, oh, man, it's, like, some of my favorite shit ever. So, but, yeah, I was
listen to a lot of the songs almost every day, pretty much. That album is great. I think it is, anyway, in my honest opinion.
Yeah, I am. I'm glad you dig it, man. Cool.
Yeah, same thing. Actually, also, I did want to congratulate you on a new Nightmare. I think that was pretty good, too, the stuff you put on there.
Thank you, man.
And especially something else just blew my mind. It was, like, wow. Like, it was almost like King of Darkness. It was a way different album, but it was still pretty damn good.
Yeah, cool. I'm glad you like it, man. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Well, thank you, Anthony, man. Very well-informed fan. Thank you very much for calling here. Let's get to Ben from Denver. Ben, you're on the line with Seven.
Hey, what's up, Seven?
Hey, what's up, man?
So one thing I really noticed about Something Else was that it was so bassy, and I loved it. But was that like something that you and Tech sat down with and were like, hey, let's like add more bass, like that's kind of the new thing, or was it something that just really fit?
Well, you know, Tech loves like 808s and bass, and at this point it's pretty much like part of the sound, you know. That's what we do. We kind of like, when I, like, over the years I've been trying to find like the perfect like 808, because that's something that he just, that's his signature, you know. And we were working on All Sixes and Sevens. I finally found the 808. Like, I finally, like, created it. And
right on.
I made a kit out of it, and I've used it ever since. You know, it's sort of that one particular 808 has become a signature thing. Like, I'll do everything in a track, and it'll be, you know, different than something I've done before, but then I always go back and make sure that I implement the 808, because that's the sound, you know. And the other thing is, too, I don't know if everyone knows, but on Something Else, we used a different engineer. We did the final mixes on everything. You know, and because of that, I mean, he was an engineer that's sort of known for his low end. So that really, really came out in the mixes on this album. So,
yeah,
it's definitely bass heavy, but purposely.
Sweet, yeah, like, Love's Dislike Me, the big boom when Tyler comes in with those screams at the end.
Yeah.
So rad.
Cool. Glad you like it.
Yeah, thanks a bunch.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ben. Loving these questions we get so far. John from Massachusetts, you're on the line with Seven.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, what's up, man?
Listen, I have like a two-part like question kind of statement thing. First part is, like, you know, like, obviously 8-bit, which is, like, kind of like Game Boy, and then, like, 16-bit sound quality is like CD. I was wondering if you guys would start offering, like, 24-bit, like, digital downloads for, like, Strange Music, like, music. And then the next thing was, what's your, like, most favorite mistake that you've done? Like, you know, like, when you're making music, you, like, hit a piano key or something wrong, but then that ends up sounding really good. Like, what's, like, that most notable, like, melody you've made by mistake or something?
Oh, man. The second question is a good question. You know, as far as the 24-bit thing goes or whatever, I'm not sure. I really don't know actually how all that works or whatever, you know, with the downloads. That would be cool, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
because, like, when, like, sometimes I make music, if you export it in 16-bit and then listen to 24-bit, it's like really kind of adds, like, a depth to it, so... I was wondering about that other mistake. Like, what's your most favorite mistake, I guess?
So I do that, like, all the time. I mean, like, as far as making mistakes when you make music, I feel like that's, like, I think that's, like, an important part of the process in a way, you know? Like, like, I think that the mistakes are, like, sort of, like, what makes something beautiful, you know, like a,
yeah,
like a track.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I mean?
It's like a musical Freudian slip.
What's that?
It's like a musical Freudian slip. It's, like, by
accident.
Yeah.
It's sort of, like, the flaws are the things that sort of, like, give music character, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, if I'm, like, recording somebody, like, working with a guitarist or something like that,
What instance in particular can you, like, recall that was, like, really a good one?
Gosh, I'm trying to, like, think of a specific one. Like, I feel like it happens, like, in every track. A lot of times, you know, a lot of, like, the stuff that I'll track or whatever, like, if I'm working with, you know, like, I'll say, like, working with a guitarist or something like that, it'll be something that I'll use the takes that we messed up on, you know what I mean, or that was just the idea or whatever. Or we'll be working, you know, like, on a specific idea, and I'll stop and be like, hold on a second, you know, and he'll start tuning or something, you know, and while he's tuning, he'll play the thing that I actually want to use, you know, and then I just get rid of what we were working on and work on something brand new off of the little thing that they were playing, and that becomes
so many,
song,
it's like stems,
you know what I mean?
It's awesome. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's sort of the, you know what I mean, those are the little things that make stuff great, you know. I can't really think of a specific mistake, but, I mean, it pretty much happens, like, in every track, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'll distort something or something like that, and it ends up being what I wanted it to be, you know, and I didn't even mean to do it, so.
Yeah, exactly, like moving a knob or something and just overdrives it.
Yeah, and I've learned to keep all of those things rather than, like, trying to fix it, because you just never have the same, like, feeling, you know, as the first time,
mm-hmm.
even if it's, like, distorted or fucked up, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So all I was wondering, and that'd be cool if you could, like, try and look into that, like, 24-bit thing.
Okay. I'll look into it. I'm not sure how it all works with how they do the uploads or the downloads with the songs. But that would be cool. So do some people have 24-bit downloads now? Like, is that a choice or something?
Yeah, like Spongle. There's, like, a specific one I can think of, and their music is really layered. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Cool. I'll look into that.
Thank you, man. This is awesome.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks for calling, John. Shout out to John, Ben, and Anthony. Great questions. For anyone else who's listening out there on their computer and you want to call in, the number is 347-994-3066. Excuse me. Press 1, and we'll screen your call so you can talk to 7. Who we are talking to right now about Something Else, Tech N9ne's album, which is available at your local Best Buy and on iTunes. Make sure you go cop that if you haven't already. Now, I want to go into some of these songs that are on the album. First and foremost, you know, one of the most important tracks to me, I feel, on the album is I'm Not a Saint. And that has also garnered a lot of attention from reviewers. I've even seen someone blog about it on a non-music site. Did Tech tell you what he needed for that beat and what he was going to write about before he made it?
Kind of, in a way. I mean, I can remember being there in the session with him. We were working on a different song, and he said he had an idea for something else that he wanted to do that kind of, you know, was minimal. And I think that he even mentioned, like, the roads sound on it, so it was kind of specific, but I kind of knew, like, when he said that he wanted to use Rhodes and have it be very minimal, like the drums aren't necessarily, like, the forefront of the track, I like immediately had the idea. So I went home and, you know, tracked a live Rhodes 73 on it, and started with that. I mean, the Rhodes chord progression on there is really just everything, you know, like, once I had that progression, I just built everything around it. I did a live bass on that. And then that ended up being one of the tracks with the live strings on it. I immediately, you know, when we got done with that, I was like, yeah, this is the one, one of the ones that if we could do, like have a string section on it, it would be so cool. I didn't know the tech was going to be so personal on that track, though. That was, that really, like, you know, was crazy to me. He really wrote, like, amazing stuff on that song. It's like, I feel like it's one of his most personal songs ever. I can't even believe some of the stuff he's saying on that song.
Oh, yeah, me neither. What was your reaction upon hearing it?
I was just like, dude, I listened to it with him, and I was like, dude, is that true? And he was like, yeah, he was just like, yeah, he was like, every word of it. Yeah, that's all I could say. Like, I couldn't believe that he said some of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Now a question about the production. Well, first of all, I mean, have you ever heard anyone say anything like that? I mean, and for fans who haven't heard it, basically, you know, Tech reveals, you know, an affair that he had with the girlfriend of one of his best friends. He reveals, you know, that he was molested by a seventh grade teacher. I mean, you know, it's, I almost feel weird saying that because I feel like I'm revealing secrets of Tech N9ne, but I mean, he put it on this record. Have you ever heard anyone reveal things like that on a record before?
No, not in that way. Not in that way. It was, and it was surprising to me for Tech, you know, to be like opening up that much. I mean, he always opens up like on albums and songs, and so, you know, I'm not saying that he doesn't get personal, but I was just in a way just surprised that the music brought that much out of him. You know, that was really cool. You know, I'm glad that he found like a song that he could get that out on. I mean, I didn't know those things about him. So it was like, I felt like, and as much as I know about him and know him, you know, well, that, like, I felt like I was learning something new, like, about him, you know, and about his past. So that was really crazy to me.
And a quick, you know, technical question about the beat itself, that the vocal sample that plays at the beginning, is that a sample or is that something that you created?
It's like bits and pieces from a little secret program that I use. So it wasn't technically a sample, but you know, it was from a program that has sample type things in it. And I've used it before, like, I've used it before on a few songs. So actually, a lot of the songs have elements of it on something else. That one was probably just the most, like, the clearest one with the vocal chops.
Yeah, well, you have this talent because there's been, I mean, tons of times where I've asked you before, what sample is that? And you're like, that's not a sample, actually.
Well, I can't sample. Yeah, I can't sample, like, at all. Like, when people ask me, what sample is it? Like, I'm not allowed to sample, so, well, strange. So I would never sample.
You know, the whole I'm not a saint, I think he's saying, I'm not a saint, oh Lord, you know, what, I guess what inspired that decision?
To use that kind of a vocal piece?
Well, yeah, and also the words specifically.
Yeah. I don't know. I was working on the beat. I think it was the last thing that I added to the track, and I just... It's what the beat felt like to me, you know. It just had that feeling to it, like saying that, like, I'm not a saint. And I wanted to put something in there that sounded like, you know, like chanting, like, you know, I don't know, like slaves or something. You know what I mean? Like chanting, that sort of like down south type of, you know what I mean? Like whole feeling to the song. And so I just found it and manipulated the vocal chop until it worked, like, melodically with it, and it made it work in there. It was like, you know, it took like a whole day for me to make that vocal piece work, you know, because I had to get it to melodically work with the track. But yeah, it worked out. It was perfect.
Yeah, great effect. Now, another song that, you know, a lot of us haven't heard anything like, but not because of the content, but because of the way the song was done, is Priorities. You know, it's like the closest thing that music has gotten to a movie. Tell me how this song came about.
Okay, so that song came about because we had Game do a track, and it didn't work. Like, his verse didn't work on the particular song that we used it on. And Tech wanted to use the verse still. He wanted to use it on something different, like on a different song. He wanted to create something new, and he called me, and he said he'd been watching a movie, and he heard, like, you know, like the footsteps, like, running on it, and he wanted me to make something with Game's verse, and the beat is nothing but just, like, running, like, you could hear, like footsteps running. I was like, okay. So, and he had the idea to have, like, Game's part, like, morph into him and then morph into the female artist, Angel Davenport, on that, and then kind of, like, keep, like, morphing into each other, like, throughout it. But he just wanted it to be the footsteps or running to create the drum pattern. So I thought it was really cool. I didn't think it would work, though. So I sat down with it, and, you know, I got the footsteps going, and I called Tech into the studio, and he came and listened. I was like, what do you think? He was like, yeah, I love it. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, I have all the ideas for the other stuff that we can add to it. So I added the breathing and put it all on beat, and I added, like, when Tech comes in, you can hear the beat builds a little bit because I put, like, a heartbeat sound in there that kind of starts building up, and then, you know, as the beat kind of goes on, you know, you'll hear pieces of, like, drums come in. And that's actually one of the songs from the album that Game recorded to. It kind of sounds like, you know, it's in the background, and it's just the drums actually from That's My Kid. And they come in just for a second after, like, the big, like, explosion in the middle of the track. And Tech wanted to do that to kind of keep the rhythm going at that part. And then we got finished, and we were listening to it, and we're like, yeah, we love it. But Tech was like, let's add something melodic to it. Like, I wanted to have some kind of melody. And I didn't really know what to do, but then I remember that we did all the score pieces for all the skits and everything on the album. They kind of tied it together, the background music. And I was like, well, what I'll do is I'll make it even more cinematic and create, like, a backdrop of, like, strings and orchestral stuff, you know, that's similar to the skits. And put it to Priorities, and now Priorities ties, like, into the album even more. So, yeah, it was like, right now, like, even thinking about the song, I can't believe that it all worked, you know, and sounds good.
I mean, when Tech presented you with that idea, was there ever any argument, like, man, is this going to work, or is this?
I said, I don't think it'll work. I said, I'll try it, but I don't think this is going to work, though, because, like, I'm not a fan of taking a verse, you know, and creating something different to it, because it wasn't what Game, like, wrote to, you know, it wasn't, like, you know what I mean? I don't like taking something from that they wrote to a different beat or whatever and making something different with it. But in this case, it worked out. Like, it sounds really good. Like, I really like the way it turned out. But initially, I told Tech, you know, we'll try it, but, like, don't get mad if this doesn't work, dude.
yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, he's the boss man, so you got to try at least. Now, the last song I want to touch on is Believe. Well, actually, before that, we have enough time, I think. Let's touch on Straight Out the Gate and Love to Dislike Me. Now, has Tech express wanting to do these rock and roll influence tracks to you for a while?
Yeah, well, we always do. I feel like we've done them before. Maybe we've just done them a lot recently, but, you know, we always try to incorporate, like, rock into it in a cool way. On this album, it just seemed right to do it, you know? I don't know why. I mean, I was really into, like, all the guitar stuff that we were working on, and Tech seemed to be too. And, like, well, yeah, we did Straight Out the Gate, you know, it was totally like rock inspired, and then Love to Dislike Me even more so. But yeah, I love the way that the rock stuff worked on this album so much.
Did you have guitar players do this for you, or is the guitar real, I guess is what I'm asking?
Yeah, it's all real. Yeah, like some of it I played, and then some of it I had, like, you know, real musicians, you know, that are good at guitar come in and play.
No, I got you. Well, with the song Love to Dislike Me, another question I have is, you know, there's so many different little change-ups and kind of breaks in it. You know, did those have to be, did the arrangement come beforehand for these people to work around, or did you have to work with them?
No. Well, what happened on Love to Dislike Me is we actually made that song because Tech wanted to do a song with Corey Taylor. And that was the original idea. Like, I knew that he's always wanted to do a song with Corey Taylor, and for me, I mean, that was like an amazing thing too. So I sat down to make that track just thinking of a song with them in mind, you know, for them to both do. But I wanted to do something that had like this really heavy contrast on it. That's why parts of the beat are just so like big and ugly and you know, just mean, and then other parts of it are like really melodic and pretty. And I remember finishing the beat and, you know, getting into Tech, and he loved it, and he felt like this was the one that we could put Corey Taylor on. He wrote the song, and things just didn't end up working out with that. But then I had my friend Tyler Lyon come in, who's an amazing musician. You know, I mean, I've worked with him a lot in the past, and he has his band Evelyn Awake is an awesome band. You know, they can't say enough about them. But he came in and I played the track for him and kind of told him the deal. Like, I'm like, you know, we need this song to be finished. You know, we don't have a chorus, and he immediately had an idea. We kind of sat down and worked on it together. You know, he wrote the hook and wrote the pre-chorus and everything, and it was just like, before I even let Tech hear it, like even when we were just sitting working on it, like I knew that this was meant to like happen this way because it was like so amazing. Like, I don't feel like anybody could have done a better job than what Tyler did like at that moment. So yeah, that's how that song came together. I'm so glad that, you know, everything fell through on the different features that we were trying to get on that song. You know, there was a few other people that we were trying to get even after Corey Taylor that just didn't work out. We even tracked some other vocals on that hook, and just it wasn't it. And for a second, I thought we were just going to throw the song away. Then Tyler came and just made it like one of my all-time favorite songs ever. So
he murdered it. He murdered it. It's a great song. I think we gotta speed it along here and keep. We gotta take a few more callers before we get into our next section here. Let's get to Donovan from Santa Fe. You're on the line with Seven.
Hey, what's up, Seven?
What's up, man?
My question is because I pre-ordered the Something Else, and you know it came with the DVD with all the production, the making of the album. And then, you know, I seen a couple months ago you produced the whole Calvin EP for Cut Calhoun, and same thing with Kicking and Screaming, all these different types of sounds. And I asked myself, I wonder what his hardest project to do was. So that's my question. What was your hardest project to do?
Man, hardest project to do. Do you just mean like just being difficult to get through with the album, or just that I spent time on production?
Time on production.
Well, probably Something Else. I mean, you know, I put more production into this than anything, like, I've probably ever done, ever. I mean, there's just so many ideas and so many things, elements to it, like just the live elements of this album like made it such a bigger production. I mean, I never really get to do that because, you know, we don't have the time or the budget, and this time we did. So I mean, Something Else was probably, you know, like production wise, the most time I'd ever spent on tracks. The only other thing, you know, is when we did Ever Ready, I spent a lot of time on those tracks. I mean, like when we did Come Gangster, I spent 3 days on that just doing the programming. I mean, like three 12-hour days, just waking up and doing nothing but programming and writing all of the different piano parts and the string parts, and you know, it's a pretty involved track. That's the only other thing that I can think of that's even comparable to what we did on Something Else.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Great question, Donovan. Let's get to Oscar from California.
Yeah, thank you. Hey. Great question, Donovan. My question is for 7A. Would you, in the future, would you like to produce for other artists?
Is that
in the plan?
Yeah.
Which one would you like to?
Oh man, I did some stuff on Ice Cube's album, you know, recently, and I do work on like outside projects. I wish I had more time to be able to do something. Now I would love to like. There's, like, a lot of, like, indie bands and, you know, experimental groups that, you know, different stuff outside of, like, hip-hop or rap that I would love to have the time to experiment with and work on. So, I mean, you know, yeah, you know, absolutely. It would just be a matter of having the time to do it. I would love to work on stuff outside of Strange, but, yeah, whenever that time comes.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thank you for calling in, Oscar. Let's get to BJ from San Diego, South Dakota. All I see is SD.
Yeah, what's up?
What's up, man?
None. I know the album's, like, really good. It's, like, over the years, you guys just got better and better. I've listened to Tech since I was, like, 9.
Wow, okay.
And like, I know your beats are like awesome, and yeah, like the whole
thanks,
thing you
man.
Do with Tech is just good.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate that.
But then I gotta, my question is like, what was your favorite track on Something Else other than Love to Dislike Me?
Probably, I'm Not a Saint, and then Fragile. I mean, I didn't produce Fragile, but that's definitely one of my favorite songs to just listen to. Man, Tech and Kendrick, like, just killed that song, so.
Yeah, they killed it.
Yeah, those two, you know, I'm Not a Saint and Fragile are probably, you know, I mean, yeah, gosh, there's so many good songs, and I love Fortune, Forcefield also, but. Yeah, probably next in line would be I'm Not a Saint, though.
Yeah.
So many good songs on that album.
He's got like 20 plus songs every album, and it just amazes me every time a new album comes out.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, well, thank you very much, BJ. Very good question. I got last round of questions here for you. Seven, first question is what are you currently working on right now?
I am working on a Tech Therapy EP, which Ross Robinson is producing out on Venice Beach.
That sounds like a pretty good time. Now, what can we look forward to with the Tech 9 EP, Therapy?
Oh man, yeah. This is like, we're like doing some super different shit on this album, or this EP. Definitely stuff Tech has never ever done before. Stuff I've never done before. You know, since Ross Robinson is producing it, I mean, it's a totally different way of going about like what we do. You know, it's everything is live. you know, we're recording, you know, every song, I mean, like, every element of it is live. It's so cool. Like, we're not even, like, recording to, like, to a grid, you know, which is crazy for someone like Tech, you know what I mean? Because he's really, like, a grid type of rapper, you know? It's sort of his style. Just because of his patterns and sort of the way that just his style, and so this whole album, you know, it's all just like a feeling, you know, like we're using like just a feeling to be the metronome in a way. Where so a lot of the songs change tempo and it's just like all about the vibe, and we're working with a lot of different musicians on this. We worked with Westmoreland for almost all the songs. We worked with Sammy Siegler from Glassjaw and Civ, who's, you know, an amazing punk drummer. We're working with like all kinds of people on this. You know, I don't want to give away like all the people, but you know, I mean, the biggest element is obviously Ross just producing this and bringing so much out of Tech. It's just totally crazy how we're recording this album. It's turning out amazing. It's going to be like one of those albums that, like, when we're done with it, I'm going to listen to it, like, just from like a fan standpoint, like as if I had nothing to do with the project, like whatsoever. Just one of those albums that I would, you know, just listen to the same way I listen to, like, you know, like an Eminem album, or you know what I mean, or a Jay-Z album or a Kanye album. It's just going to be amazing.
That sounds amazing. What? How has Tech been responding to the no grid thing? Because I, you know, from interviewing Tech, he's one of those guys that if something throws him off on the rhythm, he's told me he feels, you know, actual like discomfort in his body.
He was at first. I mean, honestly, he was losing his mind. Like at first, it was like, yeah, let's just wrap up and go home. You know what I mean? Like this isn't gonna work. I mean, there's really no other way to put it than that. Like it was like not going to work, like a complete failure. But then, I don't know, you know, like Ross just has a way of working with the artist, and it was almost like meant to happen, to have that moment where it was like, yeah, this isn't going to work. Let's just go back to doing it our way. But he sort of took Tech out of the, not sort of, he did, like take him out of his comfort zone and just, like make him think about music differently, you know, and focus more on the emotion than the technical side of music. Because I really think that it's easy, especially with like the way we record now with computers and everything being so digital, I think it's so easy to get caught up in the technical side of music, you know, to where you're not listening to it anymore. You're just staring at the computer screen, you know, and saying, you know, it's not right. You know what I mean? It's not on the grid, or it's distorted, or it's not technically right. What if it sounds right? Like, if it doesn't sound wrong, then why is it wrong? Like, I mean, I think, like, people, like, forgot, like, how to listen to music or something, you know? You're not supposed to look at it on the computer screen. You're supposed to listen to it, and, like, you know, when it sounds right, it is right. And that's how we made this album. So it's totally cool. Like, I love it.
Wow. That's kind of mind-blowing, actually. You know, tell me, from watching him work, what is it that you most admire right now about Ross Robinson and how he works?
He just doesn't care about anything. Like, I mean, he cares about everything without, like, caring too much. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, he's just so much, like, about the vibe and the emotion and just music. I mean, like, he reminded me, you know what I love the most is he reminded me what it was like to make music and not have, like, a plug-in to fix quantization. And he, like, he reminded me what it was like to play music, you know? Like, so it's like now I feel like I just want to go back to Kansas City and just use nothing but just keyboards and drums and, you know, not ever like call up another VST or another, you know, soft synth for the rest of my life, you know, because I just want to like get out my old Moogs and like run them through pedals and you know what I mean and just create music that way and not worry about anything technical.
He's kind of recapturing some of the wonder that you have when you start out before you actually kind of learn almost.
Yeah, exactly. Like the love of music, you know, because it's not like about, it's really not supposed to be like about, man, I need to get 5 beats done today and we need to record 2 songs and, man, I knocked out 20 beats this week and all that. It's not supposed to be about that. It's supposed to be about the greatness of the one track that you did, you know, like it's just like, you know, quality over quantity. Like who cares if you made 20 beats this week, you know, that doesn't compare to one amazing track that's just, you know, like there's no way to, that doesn't match out. I mean, match up. It's like the one track that's amazing beats anything else you could have done, even if it took you a whole entire week to make the one track, you know, that's just, you know, you can't like rush music or creativity. You just have to let it like come to you naturally.
Right. Wow. That sounds great. I cannot wait to hear this. And I'm sure fans listening right now probably feel the same way. And speaking of that, you're saying about coming back here. You're going to come back to Strangeland, which has its own recording studio, which is just this amazing looking room. State of the art. What does this mean for you as a producer, and what do you think it means for the label to have this studio?
Dude, yeah, the studio is fucking nuts, man. like, the thing about it is we just got it finished, like, last week, and I had to immediately come back out here to Venice to work on this. So, like, the day that I saw the studio was the day before I had to leave to come work, and I went out there, and I, you know, obviously I have a production room out there, too, and that's where I normally work out. But we've just been out in Venice so much, I haven't had the chance to work out there. So I saw the room, took pictures of it, and every day, like almost like every hour since I've been out here, I just look at the pictures like on my phone of the studio. It's like mind-blowing, dude. I just can't wait to get back there and in work in that room there, the rooms that they're building there. It's amazing. One of the coolest studios I've ever seen in my life, and we have some of the most awesome gear. So I can't wait. I'm just fiending to get back there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like a dream office for you, so to speak. Now, we're running out of time here. I want to ask you, what are you going to be working on, you know, when you come back and in the near future that you're really excited about?
Well, I don't know yet. You know, we're sort of like, we're coming to that point now with Strange where we, you know, we've got all the releases done this year. I finished Prozac's album, which, oh, dude, like, I've never been, I'm so excited about Prozac's album. I can't fucking wait for people to hear this album. But we finished that, and I actually just got the master back today. I'm about to listen to that when we get off the phone. When I come back to Kansas City, we're going to start prepping to mix Therapy. Hopefully we get to mix it out here in L.A. Just come back out here and do that. And I guess the amazing thing is right now that for the first time in probably like 5 years, I don't know what I'm going to work on when I come back there. Like, I don't know what the next project is. And it's like an amazing feeling. So I just, you know what I mean? Like,
oh yeah, there's no guidelines. No, I need to fit into this kind of sound. I need to make this for this kind of artist.
Yeah. Nothing right now. So that might all change. But as of right now, I get to just focus on Therapy and making it as great as it needs to be. And then I just get to see what happens next. So I have no idea. But I can't wait to work in that studio. I'll tell you that much.
All right. Well, we can't wait to hear the results. Seven, I think we're running out of time here. Just want to say, is there anything you want to say to the fans out there before we wrap this up?
Just to be excited about Therapy because you have every every reason to be. It's going to be such an amazing project. I think some people will hate it. I think people will love it, and that's what I want. That's the kind of music that I want to make. I want to make the music that lots of people hate and lots of people love. I don't want it to just be something that's just cool. So, yeah, I think this is going to be that kind of project.
All right. Sounds great. Well, Seven, thank you very much for doing this. We look forward to hearing what you cook up in the near future. And once again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it, strangers. That's all the time we have for Seven, but stay tuned for more exclusive Strange Music podcasts as we'll be talking to more of your favorite artists and producers, including Stevie Stone, whose album Two Birds, One Stone comes out next Tuesday and will be available at Best Buy and iTunes. Follow us on Facebook for the latest updates on when these will be happening. In the meantime, make sure you go cop Tech N9ne Something Else if you haven't already, which is also available at Best Buy and on iTunes. Tech N9ne's biggest, greatest album to date. You cannot go wrong, a tech album in the deck. Until next time, as always, keep it strange.
Strange Music.